The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, we are actually still off, but we've missed you that much that what we have done is we've made a little compilation for you of all of the best bits. So get your pen and paper ready for a 10 out of 10,
10 out
advice. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Advice from the wonderful Pete. And I'm going to add my little bits. I'm going to add my little moments.
It's mostly advice from Cece because she's a lot better at this than me and I just sort of throw in stupidness. So this week it is the best bits of listeners' questions and advice. We hope you enjoy it. We love giving advice, even though Cece and I could probably do with more advice than anyone. Listen, give it a
enjoy.
Go. Enjoy yourselves. We are coming back soon, I promise. Bye. Love you.
Love you, bye.
Bye. Cece, if we didn't work together and do this show together, would you come to me for advice?
Yes, I would. Do you know what? Yes, I definitely would, because last week you gave me some advice and I took it with me and I applied it.
And how did it work out for you?
Good.
Oh, good. Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm still really single, yeah.
Okay, fabulous, fabulous.
No, I did, yeah. Of course I would. Would you come to me for advice?
Of course I would.
I
would love you to be my life guru because you're such a fabulous, amazing person and I just think you're wonderful.
You can stay. You can fucking stay.
Thank you. After 25 weeks, it's nice to finally get that reassurance. Right, so it's listeners' questions and stories. So each week we get listeners to either send us their stories or they send us a voice note or email us or whatever, and they either want some advice or they just tell us funny dating stories and maybe not some not-so-funny dating stories. Sometimes we get sad ones.
Yes.
We like to hear the sad ones.
We do. We like it all, everything.
We don't like people being sad.
No, let's mix it up.
We like people to be happy because it's Happy Fucking Friday.
It is happy.
We don't like sadness.
We
like happiness.
We like
what
happy,
do we like?
Happy.
What? Hey, wait.
We like happy.
And what don't we like?
We like happy times.
And we do like happy times, but what don't we like?
Not sad times.
No, we don't like sad times.
We don't like sad times.
No, we don't. We like happy times.
We like happy times because it's happy Friday with happy people. Happy
yes.
time.
And do you know what, Cece? You make me happy.
You make me happy.
Good. You don't make me sad. You never make me sad.
You don't make me sad.
No, because you're happy and I'm happy.
Very happy. I have happy times with you.
And we're happy together. And the FUBAR family are very happy. We don't like
sadness. Fucking hell. Is there a company out there called Happy, happy.com, that could sponsor us?
Yeah, if you could. To be honest with you,
happy.com. That is fucked up. Oh, God. Yeah, kids. Should we give advice now, seeing as we're
so happy?
I think
we should, yeah.
Hannah. Tell us what you need, and we'll give you some happy advice.
Hannah wants some happy dating advice, does she?
We got this. She does.
What? We just have moments of just utter...
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I have a dating dilemma. I really need your help, please. So I've been friends with this guy from school for years, and we had a catch-up after lockdown. One thing led to another, and I ended up sleeping with him. I've seen him twice since for walks and dinners, and we message every day. He's, like, super thoughtful and sweet, and I am attracted to him, and we get on really well, but I don't know if there's a spark because we've been friends for so long. When I'm with him, I'm always thinking I should be more flirty, and he never really compliments me. Also, I had the whole conversation asking where his head's at, and he said he hadn't really thought about relationships, but it was good to know that I liked him. I don't know if he's just coasting along or whether he genuinely likes me. My head says I should just let it go, but I can't stop thinking about him. Should I pursue it or leave it? What should I do? Please, please, please help. And side note, I absolutely love you both. Love the show. It's my fave podcast. And thank you so much in advance for your help.
Oh, Hannah, you're going to get some happy advice for that a little bit on the end.
Firstly, Hannah, and I'm not just saying this because you said that you loved us, I fancy your voice.
You have a very nice voice.
What a very, very nice. When she went super happy. Oh, lovely. I will answer this in song.
Go. Oh, okay.
Let it go. I don't know how it goes. What's the melody?
Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, I don't
Sack
know.
Sack him off. Fuck him off.
Right. So I'll explain why. Yeah, that's it. Happy
that's
advice.
It. Yeah.
Cece, do you wanna take this and then I'll explain why?
Yeah. If it was meant to be, it would be like, it's lovely that you were friends, but just because you're friends doesn't mean that you should be together. if you two liked each other, you would be together. It wouldn't be weird. It wouldn't be like, oh, does he, doesn't he? Does she, doesn't she? Like, you probably stroked his ego a little bit by saying that you like him and all the rest of it. Stick to the walks. Or don't, just leave it.
For me, like you said, important there was after lockdown, you went on a date. I think everyone was trapped in lockdown for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's someone that you know previously, which makes it more comfortable initially. But if there's no spark, babe, and we did something on this show a few weeks ago about the spark, and I think there needs to be spark, especially at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Especially at the beginning. And if you're already questioning, I just think that maybe it's a comfort thing, coming out of lockdown, getting back on the horse, so to speak, and you should probably fuck it off. And also, if you've told him where your head's at, then and he's just gone, oh, well, it's good to know where your head's at, I've not really thought about it, then he's not, not seriously looking for anything. And to be honest with you, even if you're not seriously looking for anything, then he should say that, and he's just been quite vague, which isn't very nice. And the reason you're still speaking about him most probably is because you don't know where you stand, because you've not been dating for a while. We've just opened up again. You're not really back in that groove of being single. Yeah. And it's the first person you kind of met and thought, oh shit, well maybe this is it, or whatever else. And it's a really fine line between getting on with someone as a friend and being in relationships. Trust me, I know. It's a really fine line.
Last week's show, he knows.
But you have to want, you have to have that spark with someone regardless. And I've got friends that are girls who I would never in a million years, I could share a bed and they'd be like a sister to me. And then you've got friends who you kind of have that kind of bit of flirty stuff with. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a massive difference between both of those things. And it doesn't sound like you really have that kind of flirty thing. If you're having to think about whether you're flirting with someone, then you haven't got a spark.
I also, Hannah, I also think give yourself a bit more credit, because I don't think you really fancy him that much. I don't think you really want it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
It sounds like you're questioning it just because, and this is what we do annoyingly, because it's a challenge and he hasn't actually sort of said, I want you. You're now questioning it. When actually, babe, you've got the control. You don't want it. Otherwise, you would make it happen, right?
Completely. I think you'd be more ruthless. And it sounds like you're both just coasting a bit.
Yeah. So not just save the friendship, take the sex out of it, and be friends again. Go back to that.
Completely. Having heard your voice, Hannah, I am single. So we're not friends, and you won't have to think about flirting, because I don't.
That's one way to make that's a game. But if you did want to play a game, that's one way to make him jealous. Just have sex with Pete. Okay, don't have, no.
I don't think that makes anyone jealous. I'm pretty sure we'd go, what?
Oh, I just pimped you out, Pete, with the girl, with Hannah.
Thank you for the pimpage, Cece. I love that. Cece is my wingman.
I'm looking out for you.
Muchos lavos. That's our advice, Hannah. Let it go.
Let it go.
But either way, I hope it all works out for you, whatever you do, because you've got a fabulous voice, and we love you.
Claire is in County Antrim.
Ireland, I believe that is, babe. And she's got a dating story. So no advice needed. We can just listen, appreciate, and probably fucking laugh.
I was 15. I was asked to go on a date with a guy that I knew through friends who happened to be a farmer. I said I would meet him at the cinema as he was giving me a drive, a lift home. And I thought, happy days, we're not going to have to stand snug in front of my mum waiting in the parked car. So we got there. Date was good. We left, and when we walked outside to go to the car park, I realised that the cinema was packed with everybody I think I've ever known in my hometown. When we walked across the car park, I'm scanning round looking for the car, and we're hand in hand, all chatting and chatting, everything's great, until I realised we were walking and walking and walking past all these cars to the bottom of the car park, to only realise that my chariot home for the evening was a massive blue Ford tractor. Not even one of the big fancy ones. This big rattly looking thing with a link box on the back of it. He gave me a footsie up in, and we had to drive through the car park past everybody standing outside the cinema, yoo-hooing and cheering and clapping their hands and waving. And that's how he left me home.
Right, firstly, I struggle to concentrate on that because Irish accents on a lady is my downfall. I fucking love them.
Really? Oh, I've got some introductions for you then. I've got a lot of Irish friends.
Oh, CC, salt me out. Honestly, could listen to that accent all fucking day.
So did you miss the story then? No idea what's going on. You were just honed in on that story.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm slightly aroused and I couldn't concentrate. but no, track to home. I fucking love this story.
Same. I absolutely love it. Brilliant.
What a guy.
I know.
That is the sort of thing I would do.
Fuck the Ferrari. Bring your tractor. Get me on the old trackers.
My favourite part about what she said there is it wasn't one of those big fancy ones. It was a rickety old thing. So if you are going to take a tractor to the cinema, don't take the rickety one.
Yeah.
Take the fucking posh one.
That is, honestly, I think I would... Oh, that would be dreamy. I mean, maybe it's just an Irish thing, because I cannot imagine that happening in London. If it did, 10 out of 10 for the guy. 10 out of 10.
I think that's brilliant. How would you react if you went on a date with a guy and you meet him there and he says, do you want a lift home? And he took you back to his tractor. Would you fucking love it? Or would you be a bit like, what the fuck?
Absolutely fucking love it.
Yeah.
I think it would be, I would be like, you've just gone way up in my prediction. This is spot on.
Yeah, I on that one, love your accent. Absolutely. If you are single, let me know. And secondly, to the guy with a tractor, you smooth bastard.
Next story. This one's actually advice. Oh, I love it. So Becky in London, what do you need?
Becky with a good hair.
Yes, Becky.
Hi, Pete and Cece. I know that it really depends on the person, but I wanted to ask when you think is an appropriate time to introduce your partner to your family, so to your parents, to your siblings. I never really know how long you should leave it, and I feel like people's opinions on this always vary, and especially in the climate we're living in at the moment. At what stage is it suitable to bring them on a Zoom call with your family, or should we be waiting so that they can meet them first in person?
Oh, Becky.
You know what, Becky with a good hair? That's a fucking good question. Do you want to go on this, or?
I feel like you've got an immediate answer, so go on.
My immediate answer to that, in all seriousness, is there isn't a good time. Do it whenever the fuck you want. If it feels right, do it. My opinion on that sort of stuff, I think, is the same as anything. People seem to put this society issue in their head that you have to do things after a certain amount of time and we have to go on this amount of dates. It's the same as when you first sleep with someone. If you want to do it within 10 minutes, fucking do it. If it feels right, do it. If you want to wait 6 months, wait 6 months. Whatever feels right, if it feels right, do it. If it doesn't feel right, don't force it. And I think that's the problem. Sometimes people do it because they think they should and they're still not ready. If you're not ready after 3 years, don't fucking do it then. But if you feel ready after 10 minutes, fucking do it. But the interesting part of that is the Zoom. Should you introduce on Zoom or wait till person? Now, I think that's quite interesting based on our current climate. Is it better to go, all right, Dad, this is me new fella on Zoom, or is it better for the guy to be able to go and shake your dad's hand first of all?
I think it depends on how much communication you have in your own family. So if I speak to my dad daily, you know, maybe we have a FaceTime and my boyfriend's in the back, you know, they're going to meet in that kind of capacity. For me, that's not ideal. I like the initial meeting and I love it. And for me, there's no, what you just said, whenever it's ready. For me, too soon is not too soon because I like my people meeting my people. Friends will meet friends immediately. So boyfriends will meet. I just don't care. It's like, it doesn't put any pressure on the situation for me.
Whenever it feels right, do it. And if it doesn't feel right, don't. And don't force it.
Yeah. In the ideal, we'd all be hugging each other, wouldn't we? We'd all be doing lots of other things. But
like what, Cece?
That's why I never get introduced to the family, because I go a little bit too far.
I'm
joking.
There's CC sucking off someone's dad. Nice to meet you.
Stop telling everyone my secrets, Pete. That was for you only.
Sorry. My dad can't wait to meet you. This is CC. Gives a good gobble.
This is Georgina, and this is her dating story. Are you ready for it? So
I'm ready.
She went on a date with a guy from the internet. We decided on a local bar, as this was the first time meeting. He left his wallet at home. Already I'm fucking over this. He left his wallet at home, but I didn't mind getting the drinks. He insisted he should pay and wanted to get his wallet from home. He only lives a few roads away and asked if I would join him, as he told me that he would hate to leave me in a bar alone. I thought he was being very gentlemanly, so I said yes, I would come with him. I got to his and went into the lounge to find another man setting up a camera on a tripod in front of the sofa. I then see a little table with lube, condoms, and a dildo neatly placed there. The random guy says, "She looks perfect. When should we film?" I quickly left and blocked the date. Oh, wow. Okay, is this, you're smiling a lot. Please don't tell me this is, okay, is this you? Is Georgina talking about you?
I'm not a fucking sex pest.
Well, you wouldn't have left the wallet, I know that, but hang on, well, why are you?
So first, let's break it down. Leaving the wallet at home, yeah? It is a worst nightmare for blokes, if that is genuine. I don't use Apple Pay because I got scammed, so I don't use internet banking or anything anymore, do I? Do you remember? But yeah, it's worse nightmare. It has happened to me, and you can imagine how I dealt with that terribly. Yeah. So it started off terrible, left his wallet at home, sounds like an excuse. Then when he said didn't want to leave in a bar alone, I thought, oh, actually could be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Then when we get to a table with lube, condoms and a dildo and a tripod, complete and utter fucking nut job. Now the problem I have with this is this sounds like a regular occurrence for him and his friends.
Yeah.
This isn't a first time thing. This isn't a first-time ting, is it, babe?
It's not a first-time ting when he's saying not a first-time ting. Perfect. Not a first-time ting.
It's not a first-time ting. This is a multiple-time ting.
It's a multiple-time ting. It's not
a first-time ting. It's a multiple.
First-time ting.
He's
done this ting-a-ling a lot.
He's ting-a-linged all over the place.
Ting-a-ling.
Yeah, this is at least a two-time ting.
Two-time ting.
Yeah, it's not a first-time ting. It's potentially a two-time or a multiple-time ting.
Ting-a-ling, multiple-time ting.
Multiple-time ting.
Ling.
A ling. anyway.
In other news.
I mean, just how fucking creepy, seedy, and just downright disrespectful is that?
There's a little bit of fear in me. She sounds like she's, maybe it was a bit more jovial than it sounds, because I would
hope so, because that sounds fucking.
I would shit my baggies. I'm not going to lie. If I turned up with
shit
two,
what?
I would shit my baggies if I turned up and I was with two men in a room.
Hold on.
Hold the phone.
Shit your baggies?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Your trousers, your baggies, you know, baggy pants, baggy jogging bottoms. No? It must be the American in me. I spent too long in America.
I would shit my baggies.
I would shit my baggies. Wear that, no?
No.
You're welcome. You can use it if you want.
Thank you.
Right. Yep, good.
Thank you ever so much. Carry on. After you shit your baggies.
Everyone out there, I would shit my little baggies if I turned up and there was two men. You know that? And they had a fucking tripod, a dildo, lube. I mean, all the exciting stuff. But, you know, you're planning to just go get somebody's wallet, not film yourself having sex with maybe one or two men.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... That's got to be a nightmare for any woman, man, or anyone, really. Do you know what I mean? Because that's sex pest to the limit, isn't it? That's proper fucking...
I just think that's quite scary. I don't know, pesty. I'm actually quite worrying.
Yeah, and also, she looks perfect.
That's gross, yeah.
It's just the creepiness of that is next level. As far as dating stories go, Georgina, that is that's up there, I think.
It is up there,
Over the past 26 weeks of this show, that's up there with one of the creepiest that we've heard. But on the plus side, though, condoms, safe sex, important. Right, let's go. Stories.
Danny Smith in London. Tell us Danny your story.
Boy. Yeah, let's go.
Danny.
So I was on, like, I think maybe the fifth date with this guy. So we'd gone for dinner, and then he decides after the food's arrived that he needs the bathroom. So off he goes. And he was gone for so long, to the point where the table to my right, they were having a discussion about whether I'd been stood up and whether I was then going to have to pay for all this food that we'd had delivered. Anyway, moments pass. He eventually comes back, puts his knife and fork together on his plate, which was full, and says, "I've paid the bill, we need to leave." And I was shocked, but just went with it because I barely knew the guy. Got in a cab where he admits that on entry into the bathroom, some drunk teenager had decided to throw up all over him and his lovely suit, which has since been thrown away. Can't have been all bad because we're just buying a house together. So, but I did kiss him later that night and I still feel gross about it to this very day.
I am so happy that that went the way that it did and not the way that in my head I thought it was going.
I feel like I can't say anything because I've got so many other ways and things and reasons. But then because they're buying a house, it's like I feel like I can't shit on their house.
Imagine, or has it happened to you, Cece, where either you or your date has got so pissed that they've thrown up?
Yeah. Should I tell you a really disgusting story?
Yes, yes, you fucking should, Cece.
Because it was
always... This is what I live for.
Because it was a happy ending, actually. Same thing. So
was it?
Yeah, it was my first long-term boyfriend. We'd gone on our first date, and as per usual, I'd got absolutely smashed, you know, probably dancing, like, thinking it looked provocative. It was not.
Can you show us?
No. So this ridiculous dancing, anyway, somehow got me back to his house. I think we started kissing, but what I can tell you is this is gross. This is really exposing. Do I want to continue with this?
You've started, so you'll finish.
I might just ease off on all the details. So basically,
No. As I have said many times before, this is the circle of trust. It is just you and I and thousands of people listening.
It's all right. Well, what I will say then is that I was 18. So everything goes when you're 18. So I had basically woken up in the morning in a pile of my own sick on his bed. He was in the corner of the room. And I obviously, you know, I was that drunk. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So I'm like, why was my... everything sticky and why is my like everything stuck together? Couldn't figure out, realized I'd been sick. So I then started, this is disgusting, to scrape away the sick with my hand, thinking he won't notice. You know, it's dry. I know this is the point where I shouldn't have said, but fuck it, I've gone there now. Anyway, you know, we wake up and then he stood up and to go to the toilet and there was sick on the back of his t-shirt. So what happened is I'd fallen asleep on his back, thrown up on his back. He'd got up to go sleep on the floor and left me in his bed. I'm disgusting. But we were together for 5 years and he was the love of my life and I still love him today. I honestly, he is a brilliant human being. I have so much respect for him. He might not have for me.
I mean, I've got a lot of respect from him. So just to put that into perspective for everyone, Cece got hammered, went to bed with a guy. She then
didn't have sex because we couldn't even do that. Trust me.
Thankfully. She then threw up all over his back. Rather than wake her up, he just got up and slept on the floor and let Cece roll about in her own sick for the rest of the night. She hadn't realised, woke up in the morning and tried to scoop the sick off.
Yeah.
This is one of my favourite stories that you've told me, actually.
Do you know,
I absolutely love this one.
It's because we spent 5 beautiful years together that I can say it. If it was like...
I don't know fucking how after that, but...
I mean, listen, I set the bar. I was like, if this man loves me after this, we've got something good going. And he did. So, do you know what I'm saying? The bar was set. I was like, this is, you know, it gets low. This is me. I am a bit of a mess at times.
I mean, it's cliche when I say it, but from that date, the only way really is up.
Exactly.
Shall we move on to the...
Yeah, definitely.
Listener, this is not a story. This is advice needed. And this is, this may be our first man who has called in. So this is Adam from Manchester.
He's probably regretting asking for advice after the stories that we've just shared, by the way. But yes, Adam... Please.
Hello. So my question is about a relationship that I'm currently in. Me and my girlfriend celebrated our 2-year anniversary a few weeks back. But during the meal that we were having to celebrate, I saw that a guy that we both used to know sent her a topless picture of him flexing. I've always trusted her, wasn't too concerned about this, but a few weeks back I actually saw that she was still continuing to message him on Snapchat. This spiraled into an argument where, probably in the heat of the moment, I compared it to a girl sending me a topless photo and still continuing to speak to her and asked her how she would feel about that. I've never been a possessive boyfriend, and I really do want to respect her independence, but I can't help but feel hurt by her continuing to speak to him. My question is, am I within her rights to ask her to block him completely on all social media, or am I overreacting to a situation, especially when she's given me no previous indication of being unfaithful before?
Well, Cece, this... I feel like a perspective from Cece Coleman should come first on this one.
Basically, it comes back to that same thing of communication. You know, it's obviously a big check-in is needed. Check in where you are at. You're coming up to 2 years, you know, that 2-year mark. Things happen depending on age. You know, if you're a bit older, you're going to want things to move faster. I think a massive talk, where are we at and do we really make each other happy? Is there something missing in the relationship? Definitely block this fucking idiot. Like, just remove the problem for a start. Remove, block, delete. If you both need to agree to come off Instagram for a month or whatever, do that. But it's a check-in. You need a check-in.
I agree and disagree.
Go.
I completely agree. You need a check-in, and communication is super, super important. The blocking of the bloke, I think, is irrelevant, and I don't think you need to do that or should do that. I think it comes down to why she's entertaining it. He is not your problem. She is.
Yeah.
You can't control what he does. Blocking him doesn't do anything. That doesn't remove the problem if she wants to look elsewhere and wants to flirt with other people. Doesn't matter whether it's him or someone else. If she's got that in the back of her head that's what she wants to do, then there's something wrong with your relationship. Now, you don't know what these messages are about. I don't know if you've had the conversation, Adam, with her, but I would completely upfront say, what is this about? Mm. I think you're well within your rights to ask why a bloke's sending topless pictures to you and why she's continuing to message him. It may be fixable, but when someone's eye wanders, it's very hard to bring them back. It's very hard. You obviously know this person really well. If you feel like she's not telling the truth, mate, trust your gut. Do you know what I mean?
I think powerful tool. It's like magic. If you can activate and know where that feeling, it is truth.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing, is whatever the situation is, you have to go into it understanding there might be things you're not going to like and there might be things that you do like, but don't look for either of those things. Look for the truth, because if you look for the outcome you want rather than getting the outcome you deserve, then you're not going to win anything. Because it would be nice to think. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you've written a book, Pete. It is like you're reading out your book. It is spot on.
So yeah, listen, mate, I hope that helps, because that's a bit of a shitty situation, mate. But hopefully everything happens for a reason, my man.
Yeah, you will get whatever decision you make will be the right decision in this moment. Whatever it is, you know, you will make the right decision. Good luck.
Let's see if we can do something for some of our listeners who have sent in some of their dating stories and a little bit of advice. So the first up, we've got a dating story from Sarah.
So I was seeing this guy and we'd been dating for a while, so we decided to take it to the next level. We got back to his and went into the bedroom and obviously started to move things on, and you know that excitement when the guy is getting undressed in front of you and you just can't wait to see what he's hiding between his trousers. Yeah, mine wasn't like that. I wasn't expecting him to be the size of my index finger, but because I liked the guy, I carried on. And safe to say, I wasn't expecting what happened next. When he finished, it sort of tucked in, it hid inside his foreskin, like,
oh my god,
disappeared.
Is that it? Oh my god.
Right.
Oh, this is too good. I love it.
Cece, would you like to start with the hiding penis in foreskin story?
I mean, that it is every girl's worst disaster, because you see someone, you know, you're dating, you're like, what's going to be under there? And then there, when the disappointment happens, it's sad. It is a sad, sad thing. She was obviously having sympathy sex, which I understand.
Have you done that before then, Bo?
No comment, that you were not meant to ask.
So Cece has had sympathy sex before, because someone, so anyone that is listening that may have slept with Cece, you could be the one with the tiny dick.
Just that one. Oh, God. The good thing I'm in a relationship, isn't it? How do you feel about Sarah's story? No, let's put it back on you.
Listen, do you know what? I mean, it's unfortunate. An index finger is, you know.
She said hers. That's
her index finger. Yeah. I mean, listen. It's not always the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean. But you do need to feel the boat in the pool. Do you know what I mean? So, but
I think the shriveled up part after is, I mean,
that's the bit. That's what. That's the thing. I think the shriveled up bit after, sort of like a tortoise just going back into his shell, made me feel a little bit sick. But, you know, interesting. Oh, first up, we have got a dating story from Hannah, who's in Cambridge.
Okay, so mine is with when I was dating my old bar manager. We went for cocktails and we went to like a few different bars, and we went back to his, and he used to live with these two friends. And he like was renting a room in their house. And basically in the middle of the night, I woke up and I felt really sick, and I never feel sick after drinking. So I went to the toilet. I was sat on the toilet and I just threw up in the sink, like really out of the blue. And basically blocked the sink of this couple's like new house. So it was like 3 a.m. and I basically had to get around the back of the sink, detach the U-bend, and clear out my sick from the sink and put it in the toilet, and then like fix the sink all back together without waking anyone else in the house up and without getting sick all over the bathroom.
I feel like she's trying to match my story of my
well.
Wow. Oh.
I mean, fair play to her for trying to fix it and getting in the U-bend and all that sort of shit. There's not many people that would think of that.
I definitely wouldn't think. Let me understand how to eat. I don't even know what the U-bend bit is. It's that bit, isn't it? The curve, isn't it?
Yeah, and do you know why they call it a U-bend?
Because it bends. No? Because it's in a U-shape. Got it. Understood. Jeez, I would
do,
not.
Do you know why they call it a U-bend? Because it bends.
Well, come on, I want to be right. Please tell me I'm right. Give me 10 out of 10.
What is it with people getting so fucked on dates that they have to relive their dinner in a sink or a toilet or just on themselves in bed?
Well, you should probably ask me that question directly.
I am asking you directly.
I thought you were trying to be polite then. So, you know what it is? It's just sometimes you think you can handle your drink and just sometimes you can't. I do think it depends on what you've eaten that day. If I haven't eaten a lot or I haven't filled my stomach with food, then it's my body will not respond well to alcohol. That's my excuse.
So okay, interesting, because I always thought really if I'm drinking, then I don't really eat a lot, because I know people like to line their stomachs and all that, but surely you have more to throw up. Surely if you don't eat much, then you are just, it's just bile.
Well, just really,
I'm really sorry to anyone that may have tuned in to FUBAR this week for the dating show to hear me talk about bile. And for anyone listening, people, stop fucking throwing up. Why is everyone just throwing up on dates? Okay, so next up, we have got some advice needed from Kate. So I'm going to read this out to you, Cece, all right?
Okay.
Listen carefully.
Is this advice?
That she's looking for some advice. She needs some advice. So I've been dating this guy recently and things have been going well. I found out we have a conflict of interest, though. He has a fetish for belly buttons.
For what? Belly buttons?
Belly buttons. The navel.
Okay.
The problem is that I have a weird thing with touching them. He likes any belly buttons, which I have, so I'm glad that pleases him. He also likes to fondle and lick belly buttons. Touching of belly buttons is what bothers me, so I'm not sure what to do. I'm happy.
Oh, there's more. Right, go on.
Yeah, I'm not finished yet. I'm happy to do it to his belly button and also don't mind showing him my belly button. I just have an issue with him touching mine. Do you have any advice on what I can do? Can I get over my mini phobia?
This was not the kind of story I was expecting today.
Right, let's start. Let's break it down now.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Do you like belly buttons?
I like innies.
Okay, but do you specifically...
Oh, do I have a fetish for them? No, I don't. Do you?
I don't give a fuck about belly buttons, I'll be honest with you.
Okay,
I don't really understand the fascination with it. I don't understand the fascination with people not liking them touched either. I'm not conscious about mine or weird about
it. Oh, no, I do. I know about that one.
Because
someone used to poke my belly button, an ex-boyfriend. Thought that was sexy, and it does bother me because it's a funny part of the, it's like you have sensitive parts of the body, so I do understand that part of what she's saying. No, I think it's not when you finger your own belly button, it's different. When someone else does it, yeah.
Okay, is belly button fingering a thing? Is that saying?
I'm sure it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Maybe this is what this guy likes. She's got an outie. He wouldn't be able to get it in there.
She's got an innie.
Oh, she's got an innie.
I just think it's a bit of a weird one. It depends how much it really bothers her, and it depends how much he really wants it. I would just say stay away from the belly button for both of you. If it bothers you that much, then he should just understand that that's not for him. Unless it's a really big fetish for him, where, do you know what I mean? Maybe it's because I don't understand the whole belly button thing.
Well, let's move to something else that maybe you would like to or like not to share, a fetish of yours, right? So something, you don't have to say it, but think of something in your head that that you are quite into, and if someone said, Pete, it's a no-go for me, you can't do that to me, whatever that thing is,
would that
you
be
like,
a deal breaker?
Yeah, would it be a deal breaker?
No, it wouldn't, because I think more importantly when it comes to sex or that kind of sexual chemistry is the connection rather than what you're actually doing. So I could quite happily drop a fetish of mine for the right person.
Interesting. I think personally, I would not change my self for somebody. I'm always open to suggestion. But if it's really bothering you, then I'm sure there is someone out there, a doctor, that can help with phobias of the belly button.
I think they call them naval nurses.
There you go, a naval nurse. But I feel like maybe you should, there must be other things that you can explore sexually that's both going to please you, that doesn't involve having someone stick his willy, if that's what he likes, into your belly button.
I mean, I don't know.
It could be that, Pete.
You've gone there. You've gone straight. He help just me. Likes to fondle and lick belly buttons, not actually fuck her belly button.
Oh, did she say that? Oh.
Yeah, she exactly said that. So, because I would understand that would probably not be the nicest thing in the world to have someone's fucking helmet in your belly button.
I meant about you can't poke it. It's about someone else poking it. When you poke your own, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, well...
move on already. I've done it again.
Basically, my advice would be to have a little chat about it. If it bothers him that much, then I think that's a little bit weird. And if it doesn't bother you enough for you to give it a go, then listen, practice makes perfect. Just maybe, you know, sit at home and fondle your own a little bit and see if you can work your way up to him fondling it, and potentially, as Cece said, work your way up to him fucking it. Also, I would love to know either how big your belly button is or how small your dick is for that to be fucked.
Can you come on next week and let us know the circumference of your belly button? I think that's all we need to know right now. We don't need the details of
and the girth of his shaft. So yeah, I mean, listen, that was a slightly odd one, and you know, but I wish
odd is good.
Yeah, we love odd. Yeah. We love the weird and wonderful.
Bring the odds. We like it.
Weird and wonderful. So yeah, we've got a dating story, and this is from Maria.
Hi, my name's Maria. I'm from London, and I wanted to share a bad first date story with you guys. So a while back, I went on a first date with a guy, which went really well. We had dinner and drinks. And afterwards, as we were leaving the restaurant, he was like, yeah, really cool, want to see you again. So I'm thinking this is ace. But then he dropped the line of, there's something you should know about me first. And no good story ever starts with that, really, does it? So I asked him what it was, and he told me that a while back he'd spent some time in prison. So I don't want to be judgy, you know, you never know. And so I asked him what for, and he said, I'm going to give you my full name, and when you're in the cab on the way home, you should look it up on Google. So I'm thinking, oh dear Lord, what is this? So jump in the Uber, my butt hasn't even hit the seat, and I Googled his name, and turns out he had been in prison for murder. So suffice to say, there was not a date number two.
Wow.
Poor old Maria went on a date with a murderer.
Oh, you know, my God.
Do you know what? The way Maria told me that story, the thing that kind of sticks out in my head is how proud he seemed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you should do, yeah. Babe. Google me.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, you fucking killed someone. The last thing I would tell people to do is Google them. I'd want to, if that had happened, listen, playing devil's advocate, if I had killed someone, we all know what the press is like. It's not always facts, is it, about what actually happened. I'd want to tell my side of the story to someone if I actually like them, rather than going, just Google it. All the facts are there, babe. Don't worry. Do you know what I mean?
But you also would not do that on the first date, would you? I mean, if you wanted to prove your story, like your truth, you maybe what, wait till you got a bit of a connection first? And then say there's something I should tell you or not. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a tough one because that is such a big thing. I almost feel like you have to own... That sounds weird saying that, but you have to own it by letting one know from the beginning, listen, I've been inside for murder. I mean, we don't know what it was for. It might... Do you know what I mean? There's all sorts of different fucking reasons. Obviously, not, it's not going to be good. But I think if she'd actually really liked the geezer, depending what she read... I would want to know his side of it.
Yeah, I this like trying
because,
to think like.
I mean, not condoning murder in any way, shape, or form. Do you know what I mean? Like, but you, unless you know the backstory, or
oh, I don't know, it's a hard. That's a hard one. That's really hard.
I mean, listen, all I can say to anyone listening out there is listen, don't murder people.
Next.
Moving on. So, first up, we have a dating story from Finella.
Finella, yeah, quite like that name, Finella.
Unusual, lovely name. Finella from Kent.
I had been chatting to this guy on Tinder. We hadn't had any calls, we hadn't done any video calls or anything like that, so just simply messages back and forth. Prior to the date, I'd given information about working for a jewellery brand back home, locally in Kent, and he revealed on the date that on 3 or 4 occasions, he'd actually walked past that store to watch me work and hadn't built up the courage to come in and say hi. Quite creepy. So, yeah, he kind of revealed, oh yeah, I watched you when you were wearing this particular, I think it was a hairband. He said something very bizarre about my appearance, and I just thought, oh my God, that's really strange. And a bit frightening because I had absolutely no knowledge. And there were loads of other things that went really weirdly on the date. He also lied about his height, which I have no issue with, but I have an issue with being lied to. So I'm a 6'1" woman, which is very tall. And I think just naturally got onto the subject when we were talking about heights. And I said, you know, I don't wear heels too often, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, you know, you can wear heels with me. I'm 6'5". He rocked up and he was about 5'9". 5'10", being generous, which, again, I have no issue with, but to say you're such a dramatically different height, and then reveal you've also been watching me while working, quite strange. Safe to say, I stayed for one drink and made my excuses, and I left.
Well, I'm just going to start with there's nothing wrong with being 5'10". Cece, you're smiling. Funny enough, Cece and I have a WhatsApp group with the producers of this show, and it's actually called 5'10" on a good day. And the profile picture is a set of Cuban heels because evidently Cece and our producers think I'm a fucking hobbit. But anyway, where should we... Well, let's start with the stalkerish behaviour.
Well, I mean, listen, both of those things are quite significant, but the height is... It's really fucking annoying, right, when someone lies about their height, that's for sure. But the most important part to the story is that he is stalker. Like, that is creepy as hell.
The stalkerish behaviour, it started off well with, oh, I've sort of seen you in work and I may have watched you a little bit. Might be because you didn't have the courage to go and say hello. Then when he starts describing what she's wearing and he'd repeatedly done it, it sounds fucking creepy.
Sounds odd. It sounds but they met on Tinder. They didn't meet in a normal setting. They met on Tinder. So that is when it becomes fucking odd.
Have you ever had anything like that?
Oh, I've definitely had stalkers, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, well, ex-boyfriends that were stalkers, yeah. God, my catalogue of ex-boyfriends just goes up and up and up, doesn't it?
I seem to do this every week, but I just want to apologise yet again to any of Cece's exes who seem to get an awful lot of...
Do not apologise! These men are weird. No way. No apology to them.
But there is a common denominator in all of these relationships.
Me.
So, yes, Fenella, listen, onwards and upwards. Hopefully the next person that you go on a date with isn't a little bit odd. Do you know what? Funny enough, I had... I always seem to go off on fucking little stories. I went on a date ages and ages ago with this girl. She was telling me this story about a guy that she'd been dating for a little while. And he always used to say to her, because I suffer quite bad with insomnia, so I don't sleep very much. And she said, so when I told her this story, she said, oh, I dated a guy that suffered insomnia. He was nuts. And I was like, oh, well, I don't think it's that weird. Just don't sleep. Mm. Like, yeah, but what he used to do was I would be asleep and then I'd wake up and he'd be sat watching me sleep. Then that is fucking weird. I don't do that. What would you do if you were asleep? Maybe you've been dating someone for a few weeks and you woke up in the middle of the night and someone was just sat there like that.
So I've had this. This is one of my weird exes. He climbed through my housemate's window and then, yeah, I just woke up and he was at the end of my bed. I was like, this is time to call it a day.
Okay, I take back the apology to Cece's exes. You are all fucking nuts.
Thank you.
Don't worry, babe. I have got your back. You are you are not the problem.
No, of course I'm not the problem. Should we listen to our next story?
Shall we? Next up, we have Danny from Glasgow. One of my favourite cities, Glasgow.
Oh, let's try and decipher what he's actually saying with his accent.
I'm very good at Glaswegian.
Okay, you can be the translator then.
So, have I got a bad relationship story for you? It was with my ex of 4 years, and I'd always been sure she cheated on me, but never had any concrete evidence. It was a very toxic relationship. I'm glad what happened, because if it didn't, I'd probably still be there. So one morning she wakes me up having a panic attack, and me being the caring, nurturing boyfriend I once was, it's like, are you okay, babe, what's wrong? And she turns around and says to me, please don't be angry, just listen to what I've got to say first. So she turns around and tells me she's got not just the crap, but also fucking gonorrhea. I've just woke up and she says, oh, it can lie dormant in your system for years undetected. I must have had it before I even met you. So at this point, my expression is just blank. I've got no reaction. I'm at loss for words. I'm not even angry. I don't know what to say. So I decided to get some time away from her and go and get tested myself. Turns out I was clean as a whistle. And she must have cheated on me pretty recently, because we only had sex about a couple of weeks before that point. If there's any point to be taken from this, is just that don't give men a bad rap, because women are just as capable of being absolute degenerates themselves. But my life has been better since then. It was probably the best thing to do. Breaking up with her was probably the best thing that could have happened at that point. I did move on with someone else, but that didn't go too well, because I was a bit of a bandit afterwards. Being single in a pandemic is dire. My balls are fucking polishing the floor.
Well, Danny, one of my favourite listeners that we've had on. So, firstly, Danny's sentiment there that women are just as capable is actually... Men do get a really bad rap for being cheats and players and all that sort of stuff. And it's a bit of a gender stereotype, I think, because it always seems to be the guys that are the ones that are always fucking cheating and doing whatever else. Women are just as bad. It's got nothing to do with gender. The person is the person that cheats. Regardless.
I agree with you. It does piss me off that men get... I mean, listen, if you're an arsehole, you're an arsehole. You don't have to be male to be an arsehole. You can be an absolute arsehole as a woman too.
Yes, 100%. Danny, also, I've also myself been single in pandemic, and I completely agree with you. My bollocks are the size of pumpkins. currently. So they're not as orange, despite the look on my face. But yeah, it's a nightmare being single in a pandemic.
I was going to say, I'm loving the overshare of this week.
Yeah, sorry. So for anyone that's just tuned in, you just found out I have huge nuts currently. but don't worry, guys, huge nuts, small dick. anyway, like Van Wilder's bulldog. That's currently what my bollocks look like.
Just had a coffee, Pete. Have you just had...
Yuri has just fucking woke me the fuck up. So yes, Danny, I feel you, mate. Right, so on to the main part of that story then. Dating a girl, woke up in the middle of the night. She's having a panic attack because she's got not just the clap, she's got gonorrhea as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she cheated on him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the part, it's all fucking wrong, right? But what some women can be really good at, which pisses me off, is turning it around on the other person by not just trying to blame them and saying, you know, that it lies dormant or whatever she said, but to put on this whole panic attack because she's clearly feeling the guilt is, you know, playing on the fact that he's a nice guy, knowing that he'll show her empathy if she acts like, oh my God, it's poor me. That's really manipulative, really fucking, that's ticking a lot of boxes there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, and listen, I always seem to say this every week, but obviously I've made a million mistakes in my life, but you have to own your shit.
Yeah.
And it's one of my pet hates is people that don't own their shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have cheated and you have done whatever and you've caught the clap or gonorrhea or whatever the fuck else you've done, you've got to own that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You are in the wrong and we all make mistakes sometimes. You know, I'm not saying she's a terrible person, but she's a terrible person. but Danny, listen. Sounds like live and learn. Sounds like you had a lucky escape there, my friend.
Definitely.
Things are starting to open up again very, very soon. Well, they're starting to open up now, aren't they?
Yes.
So get yourself out there and release your
balls that are dragging on the floor.
Your fucking spunk everywhere, mate. Fucking go for it. Get on it, son.
So this one is advice. So this is, ready for it? It is dating advice from David in Winchester.
Ooh, Winchester, yeah. Winchester, 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 Winchester,
Winchester. I've met a girl that I really, really, really like. The only problem is she's a lesbian. Now, that's not the biggest problem because we flirt a lot and we have done certain things in the bedroom. The problem is, I don't know if she's still a lesbian or whether I've turned her. Please advise as what you would do.
Hey, I feel like I'm going to let you answer this one. This feels a bit, it's hard for me to answer that, in fact, isn't it? Pete, thoughts?
Right. Lesbian is a term that doesn't define someone.
I love how you've gone all like diplomatic on this one. Right, go on.
Well, it's a term that doesn't define someone. She may have had relationships with women in the past and assume that she's a lesbian, but if she's done bits in the bedroom and you're quite flirty, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's a lesbian. She could be bisexual, it could be anything. It could just be something to do with you, my friend. So I don't think it really matters if she says she's a lesbian. And I don't think it really matters that, you know, it almost like what Sophie said, that she's in that box of being a lesbian. If you enjoy being around each other and you like each other, then, you know, crack on. I don't think it's something that you need to... kind of worry about. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of my perception of it. Just because someone says they are something doesn't mean that, you know, they are. It's just their experiences have led them to believe that. But if she's met someone like you and she enjoys being around you and you have got that sexual chemistry or whatever else, then maybe she's not a lesbian.
Did he say that? George, can you play that one again? Because I think I missed the start about the bedroom thing.
Dear Pete and Cece, who I love so much, I think you guys have really, really, really good chemistry. I've met a girl that I really, really, really like. The only
that's
problem
Sam
is
Thompson.
She's a lesbian.
That's fucking
now,
Sam Thompson.
That's not the biggest problem
that's
because
Sam
we
Thompson.
Flirt a lot and we have done certain things in the bedroom. The problem is dumb. I don't know if she's still a lesbian or whether I've turned her. Please advise as what you would do. P.S. Love you both so much, Cece and Phil.
Do you recognise that voice, Pete?
That's Sam fucking Thompson. That's Sam Thompson. I really tried to answer that as well with like proper advice, and I didn't realise it was Sam fucking Thompson.
So for our listeners that don't know, we had Sam on AAA, another FUBAR show. He came on with his girlfriend. They had a little chat, and we just thought we'd get him to leave Pete a little message. Firstly, I've got questions. Phil, is this a secret thing that you two, what was the Phil thing at the back, at the end?
Sam calls me Phil sometimes because he thinks I don't sound like a Pete. So he goes, Sam's impression of me is always, oh, it's Phil Wicks, you know, well, just a bit of a geezer. That's how Sam describes me, and he thinks Phil suits me better than Pete, so he calls me Phil.
So then my second question is, it's a very interesting story that he's come. Is this a completely fabricated story, or is he actually, do you think he's genuinely concerned? Is he talking about you?
I've got no idea who he's talking about. Absolutely no idea. I think he's just made up a story, but because it's certainly not something I would worry about.
At what point? What do you mean you wouldn't worry about?
Well, listen, if someone, regardless of what someone says there, it doesn't really make a difference if you have a connection with someone, does it?
Oh, look at you and your diplomatic answers. Look at this guy.
So how did I not? Was that the same clip?
No.
That we played?
It was the same clip, but we
did you do
voice distortion on it.
because I was thinking, how the fuck have I not fucking worked out that that's Sam?
Well, I thought you might have picked up, because usually we're quite on the voices, you know, either nice voice. Do you not think that the original David sounded a little bit just
Yeah, but I didn't want
weird.
To be fucking rude and judging.
See, the topic is judgment.
Yeah, since the topic's judgment, and go, what the fuck is wrong with David?
At what point did you realise that was Sam?
It took me a lot longer than I thought I would. And do you know what's really annoying is that after, I'm going to see Sam after this. So I am, for everyone that wants to know, going to kick the fuck out of him.
Do you think he took a lot of joy in making that?
Oh, 100%, yeah. And also, I thought we were the circle of trust, Cece.
Listen, we care about each other. It is a circle of love. Of course it is. But he is also a friend of yours. So he is a friend of yours. And he just wanted to get involved because clearly he misses you that much. So he had to be a part of our show.
Well,
he can't have you all to himself.
But aside from that, if that is something anyone's worrying about, I feel my advice was good.
Yeah, I think your advice was really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So anyone that is having that trouble, good luck with life.
Pete, that's it. That's it. Here we are. This is, do you need a minute? Are you okay?
I'm great, yeah.
He's great. Pete's great. I love seeing this face, this side of you. Pete, thanks for being honest as always.
Thanks for being here.
Pitching you up.
Yeah.
would you like to play us out with a harmony?
I can do. And also just want to say that is 1-0 to you, CC.
About fucking time. Hold on, 1-0.
But you've started something now.
Right. Should we just go way back to like when we started 6 months ago and how every single week, just because we didn't have a clip from someone, we didn't need a fucking clip because somehow I got stitched up every single time.
The war is on.
God, here we go.
So that was the best bits of the listeners' questions and stories, which we hope you all enjoyed. Cece, did you enjoy it?
I loved that. I mean, I do every week because it is my favourite part. I always say this, but I do generally mean it because I just like listening to people's stories.
Do you know what my favourite part of the show is?
Go on.
It's just you.
Is it?
It is. You're my favourite part of every day.
Do you know that we've got a really good guest next week?
Well, because it is going to be our third week off, I do know that we have a really good guest because... This guest...
He's a little bit of you, isn't he?
Genuinely, I'm obsessed with him. He is one of the best singer-songwriters this country has produced in a long time. So we've got JP Cooper on, who you may know from Perfect Strangers, which he did with Jonas Blue, or September Song. But you should listen to his music on YouTube, on Spotify and everything else, because he's amazing. And he's actually a really, really lovely geezer. So that is next week's guy.
And listen to his story that he has about his wife. It is the proposal.
It is the proposal.
It's the proposal of all proposals.
It is the proposal of all proposals.
I weeped. I weeped and then some.
Cece did weep from her eyes.
From my eyes?
Yes, from her eyes. We also, that will be the final week that we're not here for. Because then guess what happens?
What does that mean?
It means we're back, baby.
Oh, mate.
We are fucking mate. Back.
We're back in a club.
We're going to be back in a club. So, yes, after JP Cooper, we are back. Back to normal business.
Oh, wait.
Yep, business give resumes. I will give it to you whenever you want it, babe. yeah, we're going to be back. So we hope you've enjoyed the compilations. We hope you enjoyed JP Cooper. And we can't wait to be back with you all.
Namaste, guys.
Namaste.